Hey guys, welcome to our first episode of our new bi-weekly podcast here at Akin called Dash American. Thank you for tuning in. Here at Dash American, we bring people from all different kinds of cultural backgrounds and people who have different relationships with their own cultural background to come together and share their own unique stories about what it's like being Dash American. So today, for our first episode, we decided to start things off with bringing the whole Akin team in to one room to share each of our own personal cultural stories, as well as why it is that we created this platform.
Hi, I'm Sam. I do everything business for Akin. I'm about to graduate from NYU with a business degree, and I'm about to start a job in corporate America. Doing auditing, so my life's great, and I am half Filipino, half white, but more like 30-70.
30-70, like what? Like
30-30.
You're
Filipino.
Whiter?
No, yeah, I'm whiter.
Got it. Cool. Hello, I'm Noah Breimeyer. I am the Vaulted liaison and founder of Vaulted Arts here at Akin. And what I do here is basically supply the equipment, and I do some editing here and there. You'll catch me in some written pieces or on screen with different things that we collab with. What else is there? I'm Korean.
You sure?
Honestly, like, I'm Korean as an interrogative describes me more than anything I've ever said in my whole life. I'm Korean?
I'm Hubert Silva. I am creative producer at Akin. I would say I'd identify as Filipino-American a little bit more into the Filipino side, I guess. After, you know, just some recent stuff going on with life, it's hard to say that nowadays. Growing up, I grew up in the suburbs of Queens, so was really around white people a lot. Went to a all-boys Catholic high school. A lot of white people there. I actually didn't really start noticing my cultural identity actually until college. Growing up in high school, was dealing a lot of with sexuality things. So once I went to college, got that out of the way, and seeing actual diversity after going to school in Manhattan, that's when those kind of thoughts and ideas of who you are as an identity really start sinking in, and it kind of made me start thinking what kind of person I want to be moving forward.
And I am Ruthie. I am the founder of Akin. I am also Filipino-American, but more emphasis on the American side. Grew up in New Jersey, so there was a strong Filipino community, but still not too connected with my culture until I got to college, where I met the rest of these fools. So hey guys, what's up? Thank you so much for coming in today. This is going to be fun. I know all of you, like, personally for different reasons. But one thing that I never actually got to ask you guys was, did you ever have a moment of, oh my God, this is my cultural identity, this is who I am, and where it is do I stand with that? Or was it kind of just something that, like, you never really came to terms with?
I'm going to get mine out of the way. No. I don't know, dude. It's just like, when you grow up adopted, it's sort of a different kind of middle ground, because, you know, it's not like you're in between two cultures. It's sort of you just have neither, and you look like one thing and you are another thing, I guess. It's like it doesn't even have its own label. You know, the only way to describe it is like adopted. But that comes with like a lot of baggage, I don't know, not like Louis Vuitton, even my emotional baggage is LV. But yeah, I don't know, it's tough when you go from like a very white suburban area and being definitively the Asian guy, because it's all relative to the community, to New York and being a fucking yuppie, or not, who knows?
So my thing is, I mean, if we're talking about the past, and everyone's saying we saw more of the cultural diversity in college. I actually went to a different school than all these guys. I went to Hunter up on 68th. It's more of a commuter school. So those students who actually choose to stay on campus and hang out on campus, they're the ones who really build the club scene over there. Not club scene, but like club scene.
Bumping.
And so the club over there, it was really funny. You see the Filipino club, and I guess for me, seeing the kids who were a part of it and looking at how they interact with them, each other and those outside, I just like super realized that wasn't me. I didn't relate to any of the kids in the Filipino clubs at all. It might have had to do with, you know, the background I had. It was a bit, I don't want to say strict, but like, you know, I grew up with Filipino TV playing in the background and Filipino music, and my family decided to move to Queens from the Philippines because all of my father's brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles all moved to this one little town. So it was really just circling between two, three, four block radius of like all my relatives and just like being very, very Filipino. And then in the past year, I recently had to come to terms with my Americanness. I went to the Philippines for 3 months after graduation. I decided to backpack, got to the Philippines and thought it was gonna be smooth sailing. I was gonna have, like, you know, my American background to help me. I wanted to move out there for a while, but it was way too hot. I'm a little baby. But being out there, and it's true, when you wake up at 7 a.m. and it's 98 degrees, you're like, work. But yeah, you walk in thinking you're Filipino enough, and then you go in there and they treat you differently. They think you need some more protection. They think you need some more privilege. And whether or not you do need it, it just bounces back between, you know, having rich cousins who like do what you're used to, which is going to sit at the bar or going to hang out with your cousins from Metro Manila who, you know, do the classic, just chilling on the street, just taking shots of gin, where one is a bit more welcoming, but the other one is a lot more familiar. You kind of, you know, start questioning who's to say I'm more Filipino or less Filipino than someone back at home when going to the, you know, roots of the motherland. And you're just like, wow, I really don't fit into where I feel comfortable, you know?
Okay, so I grew up in suburban New Jersey as well, but in a very white neighborhood, a small town. And I just like pretty much thought I was white, but had tan skin. And like, there were no Asians in my, I mean, there were a few in my town, but like, I was like, I like considered myself part of that. I was like, oh, I'm Asian, like, you know, but, then I came to NYU, and compared to everyone else, I felt white. So I guess I never feel 50-50. I always feel I'm white or I'm Asian. So when I'm around white people, I feel like, oh, I'm Asian. Like, I'm different. But when I'm around Asians, I kind of feel like, oh, well, I can't relate to much of what they say. I'm white. So it's like, I don't know, there's no rules for halfies, so.
You guys get to play both sides.
Yeah, I get I honestly, like, I take advantage of both sides. Like, I have white privilege to the max, and I use it when I need to, and then if I need to play the minority card, I play the minority card, like.
She got white privilege and white guilt.
So, ethnically speaking, like, chameleoning is such a thing. Mm-hmm. I know when my friend who's Egyptian, when he's hanging out with his mom's side of the family, which is all white people, he's like, ha, ha, ha. But then when he's hanging out with his dad's side of the family, there's like clearly like a change in demeanor, and like you just, it's like a set of social cues that you just sort of inadvertently apply to yourself depending on who you're around.
But I mean, this whole idea of chameleoning is true. I mean, I found my cultural identity in college as well. I like to think that I grew up, you know, very proud of my Filipino culture, and I was very comfortable with everything. But I actually just recently came to the epiphany that the only reason I felt comfortable growing up in white suburb New Jersey was because I acted white. It wasn't because I wasn't discriminated against, because I acted like them. And so that's why I didn't feel different. I, like, didn't bring my own lunches. I bought lunches, like, all of these things. I completely assimilated into white culture, which is exactly why I wasn't discriminated against. And which is why I can feel sort of proud about my Filipino culture, because I didn't grow up with having people criticize me about it because I was white. So for those of you who don't know, Noah and I go way back. Yes, he is Korean, but he's also done a lot of things for the Filipino organization here at NYU. So Noah, I don't think I ever asked you this, but I want to know why. Actually, Noah, you want to tell the folks listening in at home what it is that you've done for IFA thus far?
IFA is the International Filipino Association at NYU.
So as far as the IFA goes, I am the resident Lin-Manuel Miranda, for lack of a better comparison. I mean, you know, you write one thing, you start winning some stuff, who knows, suddenly you're Lin. So yeah, what I was doing is basically tailoring sort of like this weird slam poetry hip-hop hybrid piece, which started for Ruthie in her Miss Philippines competition for the little culture portion she had of the pageant.
And she won.
Yeah, and she won. And she got a dub. She took that dub and carried it home. And then the following year, I helped her little come in second.
Why do you think that worked then? I mean, the joke is that you have very little Filipino background, but the fact you're able to connect to whatever ignites people in culture-wise, why is it for us to say, I mean, great that it, like, you were able to, like, you know, be a part of it, but, like, why do you think it worked then? Like, why do you think these different areas of culture is working when it comes to, let's say, a competition? Like, if I were to sit here and try to write a slam poetry about what it means to be Black, it would not work at all.
If I could be totally honest, I think it's because Asians haven't really earned the right to be definitive from one another yet. When you think Black, you think Black people. You don't think Black people and then people who sort of look Black. Like, you have a very distinct idea of what you're talking about. When you say Asian, like, you got Russians in there. You got Indians. And, you know, like, East Asian is definitely, like, a thing. But on most maps, the Philippines isn't even in the East, technically. It's like far west. So, you know, how do we group ourselves together? And at this point in just like social progress, I don't think people care enough about Asian issues to define them individually. So the overlap is more of a gray area as opposed to a Black and white area. No pun intended.
But Noah, since you have been super exposed to Filipino culture and things like that, how is it that you find that you fit in, if you do?
I mean, if I learned anything from, you know, going the scholarly route of appropriating Filipino culture, it's that I learned that it's, like, very welcoming and, like, the culture is to be shared. And I understand that in a lot of different cultures, but the one thing I absolutely took away from every, like, event that I was brought to and everything that I was a part of, like, I never felt like an outsider. I just felt like someone who was sharing in whatever that event was. And there are definitely things out there, like being a Korean. I don't think I can just walk into the NYU Koreans Club and, you know, slam some bulgogi what's the word? Well, I don't know because I'm adopted. But, yeah, you know, I don't think I could walk in there and slide in as well as I did with the IFA, which is saying something both about Filipino and Korean culture, that I felt more welcome in a different nationality. But, you know, props to y'all.
Yes, we all represent Filipinos.
Every individual person of
color. The entire team, all four of us.
Use that to segue into what it is that we do here at Akin. So Noah brought up a really good point in that, he was speaking specifically about the Asian community, but this is something that we really believe in here at Akin, is that when one person of color speaks about their experience, there is something that every other person of color can also relate to. And that is why we're so story-focused here at Akin. So Akin started off as a passion project of mine. I saw my peers celebrate the Black Panther movie, and I saw what that did to them in terms of representation and visibility. And I was wondering when specifically the Asian community would have that kind of moment as well. And from there, this kind of just snowballed into what Akin is right now. And I roped all of these fools into doing it with me. But I kind of want to know, like, why it is that you guys actually said yes. Because you didn't have to. But I would love to know why it is that you guys decided to join Akin, what this kind of means to you, and why you believe in it.
I, unlike everyone else, go to business school, which is so anti-storytelling. And so over the years, I've had a lot of people be like, hey, I have this idea, I want to start a company. And then it really doesn't get past that, like past an idea. And so Ruthie came up to me in maybe February and said, hey, I have this idea. And when she told it to me, it was this like fire in her eyes and like just true passion that you could see coming out. And then I kind of thought, all right, well, this will take a while to like get off the ground. And then like a week or two later, she was like, I created an email and I have all our social media, like, and I have all this stuff ready. Like, I know how I'm going to do this. And I was like, wow, I'm really in this. Like, I guess I have to keep going.
Wow. Sorry.
Peer pressure.
But no, but like, I truly do like believe in this idea. And I think it's a really great idea. And something that hasn't been done before. And what really like keeps me going is that everyone on our team has so much passion for what we're doing and motivation. And that's something that's not at all easy to come across when looking to start a company. So I'm really excited to be here and be part of this.
So why did I join Akin? Forceful coercion is a simple way to put it, I would say. And I think everyone can pretty much, yeah, well, I'm getting a lot of up and down head nods for that.
Forceful coercion. That's a good phrase for it.
Ruthie and I graduated from NYU a semester early in December, and we basically spent the next 2-3 months just wallowing in the existential crisis of being an actor. And what we realized essentially is that being an actor as a person of color sucks, and there's no structure set up to help us succeed. Like there's not a lot of us for a reason, because there's not a lot of work. And then there's not a lot of work because there's not a lot of us to begin with. So it's like this unbreakable paradox. And so what we set out to do, two different ideas, but eventually came together on the common platform, specifically with Akin, of just representation for Asians and giving us something to do where we can talk about this and share with other people those kind of experiences, so that they're not just preachy to the choir, like, here's my experience as a Korean. Now, if you're not Korean, don't you dare listen. We want it to be, we want everyone to be a part of the party and share in our culture, or for me, lack thereof.
You have culture.
Yeah, like a mixed bag of appropriations.
It's better than nothing.
That's why Chex-Mix exists, right? I mean,
word. Mm-hmm. But I'm like the
party bag of it all.
Yeah, I'm the Chex-Mix of Asia.
After Chex-Mix after Halloween, bags. You as a chocolate bag will be like on sale, so it's great.
Thank God. So after October 31st, you can find people like me on the cheap at your local
Dwayne. On the cheap end. Yeah, I mean, I come from more of, which I think is really interesting, I come from a writer's background. Graduated about a year ago with a literature degree and an emphasis in creative writing. The year after, that was only last year, it was like quiet for me to even be inspired, especially with all sort of the cultural going back and forth that I was experiencing, and it was just hard to put that into perspective. So when Ruthie brought this up to me, and she brought this up to me in the really early stages where she would just be like, we'd meet up for like a drink or coffee, and she'd be running and huffing and puffing and be like, I'm just so riled up. I'm just, and I'm like, you need to take a breath, sis. Like, take it down a notch. But, you know, seeing her passion for it really made me want to be part of the team. And one of the most important things she kept needing to remind me in the early stages, especially as we were growing and figuring out everything we were doing, is that it really isn't just for Filipinos. We did always run into the problem of, you know, we've had people be, you know, contacting us and be like, I don't know if I can be part of this. I'm not Asian. And as we went along, you know, the basic name of Akins coming from the Tagalog word for akin, which is mine. But when you take, we put the space in the middle, akin means family and bring it together.
Well, I think that is a wrap on us then, to the team. Do we have any last thoughts that we want to give to those playing at home?
I would say, you know, since this whole conversation was about identity, always look at what you're about to say and understand that what you could say is offensive. One of the biggest things I've learned in the past couple of years, as someone who has always had a very strong opinion on sort of the representation of Filipinos, especially in the college scene with all the Filipino college clubs, what I say should always be, or at least my opinion when it comes to conversation without discussion, should be taken light, not lightly, but, you know, at least just remember that I understand that who am I to say I'm more Filipino than you? But, you know, I think that's a good way to move forward of when you interact with other people of color, of your similar identity, instead of going in kind of overly angry. If you're someone of my background, which is not having a huge community behind before, is like, you know, meeting these guys, these three with the different backgrounds is a learning experience.
If I have to direct it to two separate demographics, the first would be actors. Having been graduated for 3 months, I think the first thing I learned is it's super, super easy and almost intoxicating to just sit there and pick apart everyone else's stuff. Talk about why everybody's thing that they're doing is bad and like what they're doing wrong. Sitting on Facebook and like taking a repost and then just commenting your little spiel in reference to that thing, or like you and your friends bantering, be like, ha ha ha, they don't get this about Thornton Wilder or some bullshit. Cut that. Go make something. Go do something and prove to yourself that you can do it. That you don't just have to sit there and be a freaking hater like I was for 4 years, just trying to figure out why nothing was happening to me. Meanwhile, everyone's just putting out crap, and you graduate, and suddenly you have nothing to your name. So don't do that. Spread love. Create art. Oh, and the second demographic, to my white people, please don't forget to use sunscreen. The sun is coming out. I know it's been like a very passive thing because we were just celebrating the rise in temperature, but definitely make sure you've got like at least 30 SPF on all your exposed areas. I know specifically the back of neck, ears, and the bridge of your nose will be very susceptible to burning. Yeah, don't try to tan. Can't do it like me.
As someone who usually identifies as white, I know it can be really hard to talk about anything related to race and culture, but at Akin, we're really trying to create a space where everyone can talk about it, not just people who identify with a culture that's not white, which is why I'm on this team and why I'm really excited about it. So I don't want people to be scared off by us talking about, you know, big issues or controversial issues. There's a place for everyone here, and I'm really excited about it.
And here at Akin, I know it seems like we're super Filipino and Asian-based, but we do welcome everyone. So if you have a specific voice or a specific opinion that you feel needs to be heard, feel free to shoot us an email at team@thisisakin.com. Right before we go, we just want to give one big shout-out to our friends over at Vaulted.
Vaultedarts.com, team@vaultedarts.com. If you need any sort of equipment, we have a bunch of sound stuff. We have some film stuff. And if you just need a couple hands-on set, we can help you out. We want to help support the artists. And while I can't seem to say anything in a serious tone right now, I genuinely do mean that.
we just wanted to thank you guys so much for listening to our episode today. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode for you.
Thanks.
Deuce.
Thanks, guys.